The unconscious is a living archive that speaks through dreams, conceals itself in symbols, and rises up in neuroses.
The Call of the Unconscious. The philosophical psychological audio podcast with Martin Vermann. Develop trust in your own perception, avoid pitfalls, and gain inner clarity.
Before diving into the practice of dream work, we begin this episode with an investigation, a search for a vital key to understanding dreams. To do this, we journey back to a historical turning point that continues to shape our modern era, the Enlightenment. Just 10 generations ago, the Enlightenment declared reason the highest ideal. Thinkers like Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, and John Locke celebrated it as a liberator from darkness and dogma. At the time, this was seen as monumental progress. Yet the bar was set so high that today one might question whether the Enlightenment ever truly occurred, at least if we define reason in Kant's terms, as the ability to critically, autonomously, and free from subservience to authority, perceive and shape the world. Have we truly achieved this? I think not. Do we use reason today to dismantle dogmas, power structures, and the invisible biases within ourselves? Or has critical thinking devolved into a hollow platitude? A sobering truth is this: only a small minority strives for independent judgment. The majority follows popular narratives and demagogues as willingly as people did in the Middle Ages. The paradox lies here. When determining who even qualifies as a demagogue, most people rely on prepackaged media narratives or the mainstream views of their generation rather than undertaking the effort of independent scrutiny. Instead of questioning or trusting their deeper intuition, they align their thinking with group loyalty. Despite Kant and Voltaire, tribalism remains the stronger impulse. We pride ourselves as heirs of the Enlightenment, yet at our core, we remain herd animals seeking safety in the crowd. This line of thought bridges to our main theme. In working with dreams, one observation recurs. Dreams urge us to break free from this collectivity and reach our individual essence. Jung called this phenomenon centroversion. Without a meaningful turn inward, reason remains an unfinished project, a tool that may challenge external authorities but overlooks the inner shackles of conformity. Without fruitful introspection, the Enlightenment has left us with little gain and much loss. Above all, our grounding in faith and the richness of tradition. For most, this is a bitter reality. They feel rooted neither in belief nor tradition, yet lack the cultivated reason to find meaning or fulfillment in a complex world. The modern mass individual has failed to advance toward Kant's critical reason, instead becoming entangled in a chaotic illusion of rationality. This illusion barely conceals our dependent conformity and, amplified by media, fuels a dangerous collective imbalance. Thus, we must ask, have we underestimated the unconscious? Have we even turned it against ourselves? We believe the Enlightenment gifted us freedom, science, and human rights. Yet in our rational fervor, we repressed something essential, the untamed currents of the unconscious, the force that speaks through dreams, breathes in myths, and erupts in sudden fears. We split ourselves. Here, the ego craving control. There, the rejected irrationality that rules in the shadows. This division persists because we grasped almost nothing of the Enlightenment's deeper purpose. Psychologically, we remain the same herd animals as 300 years ago. 99.9% of our existence as Homo sapiens was shaped by myths, rituals, and tribal survival codes, not by supposedly rational reason. Only in the last 10 generations have we deemed ourselves rational, a brief span when considering that a single lifetime spans 5 generations. As children, we meet our grandparents. As elders, we watch our grandchildren grow. Little changes in such a short time. Our brain is, first and foremost, a relic of the past 300,000 years, shaped to sniff out danger, endure the unpredictability of nature, and seek belonging within the safety of the group. Our unconscious undercurrent, which reveals itself in our nightly dreams, communicates in images and symbols with such clarity that our hollowed-out modern thinking struggles to decipher them. We must relearn this symbolic language of the unconscious as expressed in our dreams. Yet this does not mean reason is inherently flawed. Reason is a force for good, one we urgently need. It has always been part of us, but for eons it was merely one tool among many. Only the Enlightenment elevated it to the sole standard of truth, a late update we received just 300 years ago. This tragically misunderstood cultural experiment sought to defy the pull of our natural instincts, overlooking that reason is part of a far larger ecosystem. The unconscious, which surfaces in dreams and harbors our archaic past, is no adversary. It is a living archive that opens in dreams, expresses itself in symbols, and rebels through neuroses. The Enlightenment did not invent reason. It dethroned other forces, creating a profound imbalance. When we ignore this primal equilibrium, the repressed resurfaces as politicized hysteria divorced from education, flight into dubious ideologies, or collective anxiety clouding judgment in uncertain times. The cost? The loss of wholeness that once united intuition, instinct, and reason. Yet here lies the paradoxical opportunity. Even the sharpest reason, as vital as it is, should never rule alone. We can learn to see it as a partner in the psyche's chorus. It will never master the unconscious, but it can translate its language. Like a navigator who understands constellations and currents, reason finds its true power not as a tyrant, but as a mediator between worlds, a role essential to dream work. Starting next episode, we'll explore how dreams build bridges, how archetypes guide us, and why dialogue with the unconscious is key to a more mature humanity. The question is not whether to engage with the unconscious, but how. We'll examine archetypes, universal primal patterns like the shadow or great mother, that shape our actions. We'll ask why dreams often invite transformation and whether dream work can help us reclaim lost parts of ourselves. Using a concrete example, we'll decode the unconscious's language. Dream work is not esoteric guesswork, but a craft of self-discovery, recognizing patterns, asking questions, and diving into one's depths. To do this, we need another essential tool, the tension between subject-level and object-level interpretation. Simply put, does a dream reflect real people or situations, or do its figures and scenes mirror the dreamer's inner self? This distinction is rarely clear, as dreams thrive in symbols blending the personal and universal. Yet this framework clarifies the process. Take the theme of surveillance, central to next episode's dream example. It might signal external fears of control or an internal guardian steering us unconsciously. To weigh such nuances, we need patience. Each symbol must be viewed in context, its emotions, associations, and the dreamer's life. A single dream is but a puzzle piece. Patterns emerge only across a series. Thus, next episode's dream is not a finished product, but a starting point. And with that, we close today's episode. I hope it's clear. The tension between reason and the unconscious is not a conflict, but an opportunity if we let reason act as mediator. Next time, we'll decipher the language of dreams, from archetypes like the shadow to whether symbols reflect inner or outer worlds. A concrete example will show how dream work unfolds. Join us for episode 6 of The Call of the Unconscious. Until then, stay curious, share this podcast, and take care.